On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, the Nets are back, but they suffer a defeat to the Orlando Magic, 128-118. Josh and I break that down, plus look ahead to Sunday's matchup against the Wizards. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Nets basketball is back. I am your host, Josh Bass. Joining me as always is Marcus Barahal. And, you know, we just finished watching the Nets lose to the Orlando Magic to kick off their bubble, regular season or resumed important play campaign about 10 minutes ago. And for a quarter there, we were on top of the world. Marcus, I was texting you saying this is the best thing ever. I was tweeting from the @LockedOnNets account just how happy I was. And then the other three quarters happened. And that's why we play the full game.
Yeah, we were texting a lot in the first quarter. And then, like, as the lead drifted away towards the end of the second, yeah, the text kind of fell off. And then, like, an hour later, I think midway through the third quarter, I got a text from you that just said, "We fucking suck." And that was
the classic "we suck" text
on the nose. Yeah, this was the Nets looked really good at the beginning. Chris Chioza was like doing a good job of penetrating. Jared Allen was finishing a lot of stuff. Caris LeVert was like automatic from the mid range and kind of slithering his way to the basket. But the Nets really just like couldn't get any stops defensively up until like garbage time in the fourth quarter, and like, their offense cooled off after the first quarter, but their defense like did not pick up at all.
Yeah, no, I think on the defensive side, a couple things I noticed. Like, one, you have this Nets team that's just, with the starting lineup they have, pretty undersized. You know, especially kind of, you have Joe Harris playing the three and Chioza playing the one, where those guys are really undersized. I think Joe Harris competes well, as does Chris, but, you know, they're not world beaters on defense. Neither is Lance Thomas at this point. And I'll get into LeVert on the defensive end, but you have a team in Orlando that, you know, is big and relatively physical, and they were getting, they were drawing a lot of fouls on the Nets early and made their free throws, 25 of 28 from the line, just kind of got whatever they wanted in that first quarter and really kind of first three quarters. It was okay in that first quarter because the Nets were scoring at will also. I thought Jared Allen was playing really well, had some nice touch on a couple floaters, and obviously got set up for some dunks. But overall, the defensive intensity just wasn't there. LeVert, especially, I was texting you about this. Mm-hmm. He was just like not paying attention off ball at all. And then when they were making a pass to his man, he was just like kind of lazily gambling for steals. And it was very easy for the person he was guarding on the Magic to just catch the ball and then go right past him and then have an advantage situation. So I think you had the good point when we were texting that, you know, he's saving energy for the offensive end, but unfortunately he wasn't that good on the offensive end. So that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, you should have saved some more energy. I was thinking like during the game, cause it was, I mean, Fournier was really the main guy who went off for the Magic. Vucevic had a great game also, but no one really like individually exploded. I would have maybe tried hiding LeVert on like James Ennis, maybe, who didn't do a ton offensively, wasn't really like asked to do a ton. And I think maybe the team wanted to put Joe Harris on him just because of like the size matchup, and then also because Harris does so much running off the ball on offense that maybe they wanted to save his legs a little bit. He was kind of acting almost like a J.J. Redick type in that first quarter, just like constantly curling, which was something the Magic did really effectively on offense, was a lot of constant motion, which really threw the Nets for a loop, and they, like you said, lost guys backdoor pretty much the whole first three quarters.
Yeah, and like even for that, Ken Birch was doing a nice job with his activity. I think he changed the game a lot when he first came in for Vucevic in the first quarter. And they were just getting better shots in the Nets. I think like when you look at the Nets team, no one stands out as being like a massive negative defensively, but there just seemed to be a lack of cohesion. When Rhodey was playing the five, you know, obviously when he's playing the wing more often, he likes to switch out on the pick and roll because he can do that. But there were times where he was guarding a big man on a short pick and roll, and he was switching it when it's an obvious situation where you don't switch. And it would lead to easy buckets for the Orlando big men. So there was just a, a lack of communication and seasoning, which is natural because not only are they picking up after a, basically like 4.5 month stoppage, but basically a lot of these guys haven't played together. I mean, Chioza had what, like 7 or 8 games with the team. This is Lance Thomas's first game, Dante Hall's first game. You have new guys like Tyler Johnson, Jeremiah Martin, Justin Anderson. And then on the Orlando side, a really interesting point where Ryan Rucco was basically saying, you know, Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, and it was either Fournier or DJ Augustine have played together for 6 years each, which is pretty crazy. So there is continuity amongst their best players. Not saying those guys are world beaters. They're all kind of in the good starter realm, but they have continuity, and that's going to really win out when you have both the talent and kind of the cohesion perspective that the Nets just don't have given their current roster constraints.
Yeah, the point you mentioned about Kurucs also with the switching was something I wrote down also, just because I felt like him guarding Kem Birch wasn't really a problem defensively. It was more so, like you said, when he switched or when he had to contest and other guys would fly in and grab offensive rebounds. The Magic had 6 offensive rebounds, all of which came from their bench, and it was kind of in that period in the second quarter where Kurucs would switch, like a guy would drive on him, he'd do a great job contesting, but then no one's there to back him up, and part of that maybe is due to, like you're saying, those guys not playing together, and the Magic did a good job of exploiting that and making that issue sort of come to the forefront by having all that motion in their offense and kind of making it a point that the Nets, if they want to play better defense, have to communicate verbally with each other, and for a team of so many new guys, that can be a little bit tough. Also, the Nets didn't exactly like do themselves any favors because they were really pushing the pace on offense, and I get that it's because they need to score points and like transition and free throws, like those are kind of the easy ways that they can get baskets. But if you're a team that doesn't have a ton of talent, you kind of want to minimize the amount of possessions and kind of increase like the amount of variance, because like the more possessions that the Nets are playing against the Magic, like as we saw in this game, odds are as the game goes on, like the Magic are going to have the better team. But like we saw in the first quarter, like maybe there's a stretch where the Nets outplay them, they're hot from the field. Like if you can stretch those possessions out a little bit longer, you can maybe buy yourself more time where you don't have to be such a hot shooting team. And I think that pace pushing allowed the Magic to kind of get out and cause a little bit more confusion on defense. And that was really the biggest issue, was that confusion.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, those prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Yeah, I agree. And like the Nets, to your point, like if Kurucs is switching out, like the wings they have aren't adept at guarding bigger players because they're generally small. Like the Nets have small wings right now. Like, you know, Tyler Johnson, TLC is more of a slighter guy. Temple is strong, but he's short. Same with Joe Harris, LeVert slight. So it's just not going to work. I did like Chioza pushing the pace at the start. I love, like, I really like that he's the type of guy to get you into a set, and I think he can probe and make some stuff happen. The problem is, in that first quarter, he just couldn't hit anything. Everyone else in the Nets was. But, you know, obviously he shot the ball well from three in kind of the regular season stint before the stoppage. But 0 of 5 from three tonight, it's just not going to cut it because he needs to be at least a respectable three-point shooter, given that he's not going to be making a ton of inroads getting to the basket.
Yeah, his probing was really good, and I thought he did a good job of keeping his dribble alive. There was one play specifically where he kind of drove from the left wing, circled all the way back around to the right wing, and then crossed back, drove, and found Jared Allen for an easy dunk. Like, that's a great play where he drove in, he didn't necessarily force it, he pulled it back out, and then saw something develop. That's the kind of play where you are pushing the pace, but you're also not just kind of like forcing things up, trying to rush so that you can get to 100 points kind of thing. Like, you're pushing it, but you're also like keeping your head up and making sure that if it's not there, you can kind of slow down and settle down.
Yeah, agreed. I think he had some nice moments, but the problem is like he's being, you know, put in a big role right now, and Orlando is playing very hard because they have a lot to prove, and you know they want to be able to secure that 7 seed away from the Nets. So you know, he can look good in kind of garbage time games, I think, and still has some potential, but it's hard for him when he doesn't have much talent on the floor around him. And I think that was the case because, you know, the Nets starting lineup is very low on shooting because you have Lance Thomas, who I know we got hyped when he had his four-point play to start the game, but he's not much of a shooter, both from a percentage standpoint, and also he's reluctant to do it. He wants to be kind of a very low usage guy after his former Knicks idol, Jared Jeffries, I guess. Then you have Allen, who's not going to shoot at all at the center position, or when he does, it will be an air ball from the wing or corner. And then you have LeVert, who is just extremely inconsistent as a three-point shooter, 0-for-4 tonight, and had some bad misses. So, and then you have, of course, Beef Jerky Joe, who's locked down. But overall, not a good shooting lineup, and same on the bench, even though our boy TLC was red hot after...
He was awesome in garbage time. I was
shitting on him yesterday. So he made me eat crow going 5-of-8 from 3.
Yeah, we talked yesterday about who would start at the 4 between Gurucs and TLC. We didn't even consider Lance Thomas. I honestly completely forgot about him. And like when I saw the starting lineup, you and I were texting like, oh my God, like what is going on? And then he immediately had that 4-point play, which was incredible. And then he was kind of silent the rest of the game. But a great moment at the top. Yeah. And yeah, TLC, I mean, this game, the Nets lost by 10, 128 to 118. But they closed the game on an 18-0 run, which was just TLC bombing and like, Dante Hall chasing down every ball in sight. Musa
for Musa some reason, plus like, 17. 10 minutes.
Yeah, for some reason, Anderson. He was like really going hard when they were down like 14 with like 40 seconds left or something. He was just like, he's like, quick, inbound it. I have to go. It worked in that situation. The Magic had to like put their starters back in, which was a little interesting. I feel like you don't see that a ton. So a good run at the end of the game, maybe they can carry that. What did you think, Josh, about some of those bench guys that we had kind of like tepid expectations for?
Yeah, I mean, I thought TLC was really good. Obviously, he did have a nice run in crunch time, but he did hit some threes in the flow of the game, knocking down too early, which I thought gave the Nets a nice boost. I thought Rhodey was good. I mean, he has a ton of confidence in his three-point shot. He gunned one from the top of the key early and knocked it down, had some nice hustle plays, a couple plays where he was getting on the boards, and keeping it alive a little bit, even though the Nets didn't secure it. I thought Tyler Johnson played better than shooting 2-of-8 from the field. I thought he looked pretty confident out there. And he does give the Nets a nice steadying hand. And for some of the wings that they have, like a TLC and Temple, they're not wings that are more shot-creating guys. So I think it is nice to have him there. You know, he's not the most efficient player, but I do think he has some potential on this team. And I'm glad that they were able to finally sign him. So overall, kind of mixed bag, I guess, slightly outperforming expectations, but very low to begin with. And I think the problem on this Nets team isn't necessarily that ninth or tenth man depth. It's the top line guys that they don't have, and then also the starting quality players that they don't have. They really just kind of have three guys who are solid starters at the NBA level, and that's really it. And there's a huge drop off after Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, and Joe Harris.
Yeah, I mean, I agree about Tyler Johnson, first off. A great job getting to the line. He had six free throw attempts in just 19 minutes of action, most on the team in the game. That's kind of what I wanted a little bit more from LeVert and from some of the starters. Like, the starters, all five combined for six free throw attempts. So we talked about that in the last podcast where that was kind of going to be a point of emphasis. And the bench did a good job of that, but the starters didn't really. So I think I agree. I think overall the bench was pretty solid in this game. And the starters, it's hard to knock them because of how good the first quarter went, and a lot of that was because of them and how well they were shooting. But like we've talked about, just the defensive effort was not there kind of from the jump, even when things were rolling early on. It was 16-8 when the Magic called their first timeout, and obviously the Nets' offense had really been clicking. They'd put up 16 points that fast, but the Magic, 8 points was not like they were shooting poorly either. Like, I think they shot... they shot 53% from the field for the whole game, and that includes that 18-0 run that the Nets had down the stretch, so they shot a lot better than that when the game was actually in the balance. Just not a good effort defensively. Dante Hall, though, I thought he brought some good energy. As soon as he checked in, he had a putback, then like a nice contest on the defensive end, and an and-one where he missed the free throw. But just good activity from him in those 12 minutes he played. It was nice to see him get a little bit of run. I would like to see him play more in the next game, I would say, and maybe try to trim some of the back end of the rotation a little bit. But to your point, I think it's the starters, because the bench, I don't think like most teams have like that deep of a bench where like the ninth, 10th guys, like you said, are really going to make a huge impact. And I think the guys that the Nets have coming off the bench, like Kurucs, Temple, TLC, Tyler Johnson, those guys aren't terrible. They're kind of able to hold the fort for a couple minutes. The problem comes when you're starting guys like Chris Chioza and Lance Thomas, who are okay, but they're like, obviously they shouldn't be starting NBA games. So it's going to be tough, because I think the bench is going to kind of have to make up for a lot of what the starters lack. And the Nets are kind of going to find themselves in holes that they're going to try to have to dig themselves out of. This was kind of an exception early on where they built a little bit of a lead. I think they led by 8 at one point. Then the bench kind of protected it. The starters came back in and then blew it. And then things just kind of spiraled out of hand. I think more often than not, this team is going to be behind early. And it's going to kind of be on those spark plug guys like TLC and Rhodey to come in and maybe like have a hot streak and change a game.
Yeah, agreed. I think the Dante Hall point is one well taken, that if he can play a little bit more, that frees actually up Kurucs to play more at the four, which I think will be really big. Because listen, like, Lance Thomas is not a starting caliber player. He's not a bench player even. He's just not someone that you can have out there at this point. So although I do love his highlights now that he has, it's a good look, but if they can get Kurucs up to like 25 minutes a game, and not, I don't know, he just has potential, and I think he makes good things happen out there. So I think the drop off from Kurucs at the five to Dante Hall is much, much, much less than it is from basically having Lance Thomas in at the four for more minutes than Kurucs. So that's just ways that Jock can optimize the lineup to reduce some of the weaknesses on this team. And I think, you know, he's been dealt a very tough hand, and obviously gets his first loss as as Nets coach. But I think these are just kind of things that they're going to be testing out and seeing what he can shake up.
Totally. Lance Thomas played 18 minutes in this game, and I feel like, I mean, if you completely benched him, you could give 12 of those to Kurucs to bump him to 28 and give 6 more to Hall, bring him maybe to somewhere between 15-ish minutes, maybe spread them out a little bit more. But yeah, I completely agree that those two guys should be playing over him, especially because, like, Kurucs and Hall, we've talked about it, they're guys who could actually, like, earn a role on the team next season. Like, Lance Thomas should not be on this roster next year, unless he's, like, the 15th man. Like, he's, like he should not be on the team. Yeah, would you say that this is a must-win on Sunday against the Wizards?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously, if they lose that game, you have the Wizards cutting into kind of that deficit. But also, it just bodes really poorly for the Nets' chances of winning other games. I just don't see them winning at most one game. And maybe it comes back that they're more motivated, but they're going up against actual NBA teams after that.
Yeah. The big like things that need to be fixed going forward, I think that we've kind of covered. Defense, maybe playing Hall a little bit more, cutting out some of Thomas's minutes. And then other than that, it really just comes down to, like, Caris LeVert, if the Nets are going to win, has to play, like, superhuman. And he had good stretches in this game in the first half especially. He wound up with 17 points on 17 shots, so not really all that efficient. 7 assists against 4 turnovers. Like, if this were, like, the pre-pandemic and he was playing with Kyrie or playing with Dinwiddie, I think this game you could kind of just be like, yeah, whatever, this was, like, a fine game for him. But if he's going to be taking on the mantle of the number one guy, and if he's going to be leading this team, like, the expectations kind of have gotten raised a little bit for him, especially with what he did the week before the season shut down. So you need a little bit more from him. He wasn't terrible in this game on the offensive end. Defensively, obviously, needs to step up, but even offensively, like, there's definitely room for improvement. Getting to the line more, hitting a couple threes, just kind of cutting down those turnovers. There was, like, a lob that he tried to throw to Allen, which gave me flashbacks to the beginning of the season with Dinwiddie, just, like, airmailing lobs. So if he can kind of get that under control and play a little bit better. I mean, the Magic were doubling him a lot. Did you expect that, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did have some success getting to the mid-range. So I think mm-hmm. they went to trap him a bit more and just get the ball out of his hands, which is not a terrible strategy. Basically just saying, let's see who else can beat you. I think completely agree with your point there. Like, I had the lob written down that it was just like, why? Mm-hmm. And then there was just other plays like sloppy travels, just getting the ball taken from him. And I think that's the problem with him, where even though his three-point percentage this year has been good, his two-point percentage hasn't been, because he's really struggled finishing getting to the basket. Like, the one play, he had a really nice move, the one where Allen kind of volleyball tapped it back in. Like, mm-hmm. great job by Jared Allen doing that. LeVert needs to make that. It's a very easy layup, and he misses those time and time again. So, obviously, his three-point shooting is up this year, but who knows if it's a little fluky or if it's not, but he doesn't get to the basket that much. He's not a good free throw shooter when he gets there, and he struggles finishing at the rim. So even though he can hit the mid-range, he's not going to be really efficient by being an awesome mid-range shooter, because he's good at it, but he's not Chris Paul or D'Angelo Russell when it comes to it. So how is he going to evolve into a number one or two offensive option? I just need to see the path for that. And obviously this is a very difficult situation for him, but I'm struggling to do so.
Yeah, also that, I just remembered this, there's like the transition play where he was like basically one on none on the fast break and kind of tried to like lean into the defender to draw a foul. I think it was Fultz, and like missed Fultz, and so he didn't draw any contact, and then also missed the layup, and they called a foul, reviewed it, and then saw there was no foul. So like that kind of play, like just go up and finish. Like he's like kind of playing in between. I think he's maybe trying to do a little bit too much, which, to be fair, like he's being asked to do probably too much than he should be asked to do. So mm-hmm. Like you said, it's not like the best position for him, but if the Nets are going to win any of these next seven games, like he has to kind of go up a level.
Yeah, for sure. I just I wish Dinwiddie was there so much. What did you think of Kerry Kittles being one of the virtual fans?
Oh my god, that was great.
That was fun, right?
When he started like responding and interacting, that was really cool. I did not expect that, like the there was like no delay, really. It was kind of like Ruko was like, give us a thumbs up, he kind of like smiled and then gave the thumbs up. It was great. I enjoyed
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's cool. I would love to be a virtual fan.
Yeah, I saw they had some kind of contest to win a virtual courtside seat. Maybe we can enter that.
Let's do it. And I want all the listeners there supporting us for that.
Yeah. Also, we should mention the pregame during the anthem. Everyone on both teams except for Jonathan Isaac took the knee. A couple players held up fists, which I thought was a nice like addition to what's been going on, just because, like, I don't know, the taking of a knee definitely like was a huge statement when it was initially happening, and it's definitely still a statement, but like it's kind of become more accepted in like society and in the discourse, and so keeping like pushing that envelope I think is a good thing. I saw Michael Carter Williams, James Ennis, Garrett Temple, and Lance Thomas all holding up like a fist in the style of Tommy Smith from the Olympics. So shout out to those guys. Reverse shout out to Jonathan Isaac, I guess.
Yeah, we'll avoid Jonathan Isaac, but I think definitely not cool stuff that's out there.
Yeah, we'll leave that to the Locked On Magic crew to break down.
Exactly. Yep. We will leave.
I did not learn, by the way, did not learn any of the host names since yesterday. I realized that I don't know. In bringing up Locked On Magic, I wanted to say who it was.
Philip Rostin Reich.
Wow.
go check it out. But yeah, you know, the Nets have had enough controversy recently.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Clippers-Lakers from last night? Because we obviously...
It was great.
Recorded and posted our episode after the Nuggets game, or not after the Jazz and Pelicans game, but before the LA battle took place. But really fun contest.
Yeah, that was really great, especially down the stretch. Like, the team's just kind of trading baskets. Paul George hitting some big shots. Anthony Davis had a crazy run towards the end of the third quarter. And LeBron's defense was unbelievable. Kind of the whole game on Kawhi, and then on that last play, especially guarding Kawhi, and then switching onto PG, being aware that there's only like 3 seconds left, and so he kind of like pushed him out towards half court, so George didn't really have a chance to get his feet set on that eventual heave. Just a great game. It was great to have the NBA back. Obviously, the Inside the NBA crew, great to see them also. And yeah, really looking forward to playoff basketball. Obviously, still enjoying these Nets games, but yeah, like I'm also excited for like once we get down to like the final 4 or 8 teams or whatever.
Yeah, that will be really fun, and I'm just curious to see how the intensity builds kind of as we go along. But so far, I mean, I think every game has been pretty intense. And yeah, it was a fun game to watch, especially, I don't know, I just love watching Paul George shoot when he gets, when he heats up, and he hit like three threes at the beginning of the third quarter last night. And, he's always one of my favorite players to watch when he's right. And, you know, good to see that. It looks like some of the injury stuff that's plagued him this year is behind him. And scoreboard watch for, us Nets fans, the Wizards are currently playing the Suns. It's in the third quarter. And they're down by 9. I don't even know why I'm saying this, because it's not going to be totally different when everyone's listening to this. But I'm throwing it out there just so you can hear the positivity in my voice. My voice, the only thing that's looking poor for the Nets is that Jerome Robinson has somehow found out how to be an actual basketball player after a couple of years of being a bust. And he has 13 points on 5 of 5 shooting.
Wow.
He's a problem.
He's their leading scorer right now.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of their starting lineup? Former Nets point guard Napier, which I think bodes really well for even though he's a Nets killer and did a nice job in that opening game this season with Minnesota. It's I think a matchup that Chris Chioza can very well handle, and then obviously you have Thomas Bryant, Rui Hachimura, Troy Brown, and Isak Bonga.
Yeah, the Nets should win this game. Like, as bad as they looked for stretches of this game, as bad as they looked in that first preseason game, like, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Joe Harris,
those are the three best players in this game. Yeah, the first, second, third best player. I mean, they have to win this.
Yeah. Like, we just talked about how they don't really have, like, that top-level talent in pretty much any matchup. And LeVert has to play on that elevated level. This is kind of the one game where that's not the case, and they do have just better talent than the other team. So yeah, I agree with what you said before. Definitely a must win.
Would you put Dante Hall as like a top 7 player on either team in this game?
I would go those three. He's close.
Ish Smith.
Ish Smith is up there. I've always loved Ish Smith dating back to his Sixer days.
Yeah, he's a good player. I've always liked him. Who's the Wizards' best player even? Bryant, probably?
Maybe Rui.
Yeah, Hachimura. One of those two guys.
Yeah, those two for sure.
I like Bryant.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, once we are into Thomas Bryant talk, you know it's time to end the podcast. If you want to get in-depth on Thomas Bryant or Rui Hachimura, go check out new Locked On Wizards host Renee Washington.
And what I knew that one.
Over at the pod. Maybe we'll if the race gets really tight between the Wizards and the Nets, we'll have to do a podcast with Renee and hear all about the Isak Bonga takes. But for now, we're just talking Nets. That will do it for us on today's show. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. I am at @JMBass_. Marcus is much more talented than I am at Twitter, and he's at Marcus Barahal. Of course, rate us, review us, and until next time, and hopefully after a Nets win, be well.
Bye.